Good morning, friends and brethren. It's so very good to see you here this morning. Good to see some visitors with us. We are very glad to have you. We're glad you are here. I can't help but mention that some very good friends of ours, Jimmy and Linda Butler, are with us today from Elkton, Tennessee. We spent a long time laboring with them in Elkton, and they are good servants in the kingdom, always busy about the Lord's concerns, and we love them very much. I hope that you will get to meet them. I appreciate Dave stepping in at the last minute to lead singing. That can be really hard to do, and he's done a good job. But just some circumstances came about with Neil becoming sick. Dave stepped in. I appreciate him doing that. Sometimes people take a little bit of pride, I guess you would say, if they could be recognized by someone important. You know, sometimes people will wait for hours in line to just catch a glimpse of a celebrity and maybe have them wave at them, or to get an autograph from someone like that. Or it might kind of make you swell up just a little bit and think that you're somebody if maybe you just know somebody important. You know, maybe it's an old friend or a childhood playmate that has done something that's notable and has become a well-known personality. And it's sometimes kind of nice to be recognized by someone that people think are important. You know, politics is kind of a funny game. And a handshake becomes very important. Or being able to recognize people that you've met somewhere else because people like to be recognized. And it's also important to receive that handshake or to get that wave from an important politician. You know, sometimes a wave that seems strategically placed at a certain time where they can wave at somebody that might make them feel good. Maybe someone who has some influence. There was a couple of occasions when Al Gore was the state senator in Tennessee that I met him at a couple of town hall rallies. And it was interesting to me that the way he could just engage, when you could shake hands and his hand would wrap around yours about three times. Not really. He wasn't that big, but he just had a way of shaking hands. He was good at it. He'd done it about a million times and could engage you in conversation and make you feel like you were really important. Though as soon as he moved on to the next person, I'm sure he couldn't remember your name, and his aide was writing down all the things that you said. But it was just an interesting experience for me to realize that some people know how to make other people feel real important. And we do have something within us, a propensity of wanting to be known, to be recognized. And so that's just an interesting thing to me. Well, what does it mean to be known by God? I mean, we can think of these other circumstances that may be important to us in some way, but let's just get down to some brass tacks. Really, what's most important for us is to be known by God. In fact, nothing else really matters. But what does that mean to be known by God? In some intrinsic way, a natural way, God knows all. There's nothing that escapes Him. And it is kind of built in. It's just a natural thing that He would know us because He made us. How could He not know us? He made us and He made all things. But it goes beyond this. We are talking about a relationship. We are talking about a connection that goes farther than just an acknowledgement, but that God really knows us. And I believe that kind of relationship can be had with God. Just thinking of a couple of passages for a moment, like the 139th Psalm, a passage, the first 16 verses there, that just so very much identifies the power and the ability of God to know all things and to have authority over all things, to know us intimately, is an interesting read sometimes. Or in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul is helping those philosophers of Athens to understand that it is God who made us all from one blood and has made us in such a way that we should seek for the Lord in the hope that we might grope for Him. That's the way He made us, in such a way that we might want to know Him. That's how He made us. And that, in fact, He's not so hard to find. He's not far from each one of us, is what He would say. But we're still just trying to understand, what does it mean to know God? He has made us, He knows all, and He has made us in such a way that we might know Him. And yet man has at times struggled to have the relationship with God that we should have. Look with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. It seems that there were some in the first century trying to understand this, and the Apostle Paul was trying so very much to help them understand what it is to be known by God. He has told them that we have a relationship with Him. In fact, speaking to those who are Christians, He said that we have been adopted as sons. In chapter 4, verse 8, He says, "But then, indeed, when you do not know God, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not God. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to those weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" And so He's saying to these Christians what it is to know God and to be known by God. Why would you want to turn from that? Because it seems in this letter that there were some who were struggling with other ideas that had been offered to them. Why would you want to give up this relationship of being known by God? And so, again, that text was not about just anybody. It was speaking specifically to those who were Christians. These were the ones who were in Christ. Just a page or so back in chapter 3, He identifies in chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so we see again here those to whom He is speaking. And yet they were having a hard time letting go of the law, and so the apostle pointed out to them that they should not turn again to those weak and beggarly elements from which they came. But to me, the standout point is that we can be known by God. And I don't know of anything that could be more important than that. Yes, there is that part of us, the natural part of us, that wants to be recognized by someone important. And it would mean really, might mean something to us if the president waved to us in a special way in some rally somewhere or something like that. But what is that? As compared to being known by God, that is of value. That is important. Nothing else could compare to that. To the Christian, a relationship with God is the real thing. 2 Timothy, if you'll turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is encouraging Timothy in his preaching. And here, Timothy, here are the attributes you should have, and here are the things that you should be telling and teaching others that we have to strive for truth. How do we do that? Verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved by God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Here's what we must do. Here's who we should be. And to turn away, or verse 16 says, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." Verse 17 says, there are some who have done just that. Don't be like that, Timothy. Don't let that happen to you. And that there were some who had strayed from the faith, verse 18 says. But verse 19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." See, there is a confidence that we should be able to have, a confidence by being known by God. And Paul's trying to tell Timothy and trying to tell us, don't give that up. And he says, some have. Some have given up everything. Don't let that happen. But what's of greatest value is to truly be known by God. Don't give up that saving faith. Don't give up that relationship with God. And that there is a point of confidence in being known by God. When he said to Timothy here, when he said, having this seal that the Lord knows those who are His, a seal is, it's like an inscription on an important article that gives it some authenticity. You know, like when the king had a signet ring and he was sending a letter to someone important, and it was sealed up and some wax was dripped on, and he took his ring and he put his mark on it. He sealed it. And so the recipient of that knew then that this was authentic. This was the real thing. And what Paul is telling Timothy and telling us is that this is the real thing. That we can have this relationship with God, that we can be known by God. Well, it means we have to give up iniquity or sin. We have to turn from those things. Don't be fooled. Don't go back into the world like some have done, but study to show yourself approved by God, rightly dividing His Word. We can be known by God. What more could there be? What more could we ever want? And so God in the text as well, it identifies God has some expectations in this. If we are to be known by God, then we have to walk as His people. We're going to have to know, we have to obey His Word, we have to do His commands. Jesus said it in a pretty simple way in John chapter 12. When He was talking to His disciples, John chapter 12 and verse 48, when He said, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day." See, God does not turn away from man, but man sometimes turns away from God. But God wants to know us. He has made us in such a way that He can know us. We can be known by Him, and we can know Him if we just will. If we would just choose to do so. It is something to be known by God. And then there's the idea of knowing God. Oh, I think there's some different connotations in this time in life of what that means to some people, but God has given us a means of understanding. He has not left us without direction, but He's given us a means by which we might know God. 1 John chapter 5. I hope you'll look with me at these passages. 1 John chapter 5. We begin reading in verse 18. The apostle is kind of concluding this letter that has said so much about being drawn near to God. Verse 18, he says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." I'm just enjoying these passages that say something to us about how we can know God. And knowing God means that we have changed. We can see that in multiple references here. It means that we have changed, that we have drawn nearer to Him. A clear indicator that we do not know God is if we live by the way of the wicked one. That if we live by the will of Satan. But we can know God, and we can know His will, and we can know His character, and we can know what is true. That stands out true as well. We can see both sides. We can see the choice that we can choose to follow the wicked one, or we can choose to be known by God. When we stop and we think for a minute about which we would rather, to be known by Satan or to be known by God, I can't hardly imagine anyone would say that we would choose to be known by Satan rather than to be known by God. That would be the natural thing for us. Being born of God makes us His children. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him." This is not an idea that should be expressed in a frivolous manner. The idea that we could be children of God, That is amazing. Just absolutely amazing that we might be identified as the children of God. And it also, as well, helps us to see a distinction that the world is not known by God because they did not know God. And it brings us again to that point of having to think here for a moment, do we know God in the way Scripture uses that term and that expression? You think about sometimes how you might identify your children. All of us who have children or grandchildren, you know, we can identify them quickly. We hear their voice in the distance. We know that's ours. Or maybe we're accustomed to some things they wear, and we can see them in the distance, and we know where they are at. Or we know the way they run. It's funny to me when I watch our granddaughter Kinley run, and her hair is kind of bouncing and back in the curls, and I'll yell to her, "Stacy, Kinley." She reminds me of Stacy so much. But you know your own that way, right? You know what I'm saying? And there's that way of identifying very quickly your children. What does it mean to be called children of God? You see, He could recognize us because there would be certain attributes that we would have that make us a part of Him. Our character, our nature, there are traits that we take on after Him. I think that's what John's talking about here. In this way, we know God, but He might know us as well. God can identify His own. He knows us because we are like Him in character, in His attributes, in holiness and purity. You see, there is no way that God could recognize us as His own if we are not holy and pure as He is holy and pure. And so the very idea then that we can say we know God but we walk by the will and the ways of the world, well, that doesn't even make sense, does it? Because if we've not taken on His attributes, we cannot be His. That doesn't even fit. And so some have to give up some things to become the people of God. Philippians chapter 3. It's interesting to me to see and to read about some things that the Apostle Paul gave up. I've never got the impression that the Apostle has written these things in such a way for us to think, wow, Paul was really something, wasn't he? That's just not the way I read that. He was making a statement of fact that as a Jew, he was a Jew's Jew, so to speak. He lived the law. He taught the law. In so many ways, he had followed that doctrine. He was, in some ways, somebody by that law, being a teacher of the law. He had a place of authority. But he's saying in chapter 3 that he gave these things up willingly, wanted to give these things up to draw near to Christ. In chapter 3, verse 8, beginning. But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Our goal, to know God fully, close, to know Him intimately, not just to know about Him. Many people can know something about God, but do not really know God, as in the way of being filled by Him. And that's the impression that I get from Paul, that he had changed in these ways, and he had put off some things from his past, that he might more fully put on Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So much is said in this first chapter about redemption that is found in Christ, spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. But it's in this chapter as well that the apostle is helping us to understand that we can know the hope of his calling. We can know and understand the blessings that come in Christ Jesus. We can know the power of knowing God is what he's talking about. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, the inheritance of his saints. You see that we can know the hope of the calling of Christ, that we can know the blessings that come through him. We can know the power of knowing God. And that power comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 19, we read this in class this morning. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand, his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Earthly relationships cannot compare to this. Earthly relationships can be superficial and do not offer what knowing the one who sits at the right hand of God, what that offers. You know, we thought earlier about what it means to some people to be recognized by someone important, someone of some position or power. And yet there is no comparison in any example of life that we can think of to that of being recognized by the one sitting at the right hand of God. Why would we even care if we were known or recognized by anyone else? But then to be recognized by Jesus Christ, our Savior, sitting at the right hand of God. Knowing God is something that we should desire, something that we should want to do, and we can. We can have that relationship, but there has to be a desire to know God. And God has given to us the responsibility of drawing near to him. He has given us every reason to love him. He has given us every reason to turn to him, and yet many refuse. Many continue to just follow their own thoughts, their own will, their own wants. And even if they say they know God, it does not mean that they do. Because the only way we can have that relationship with God is if truly we know him by his will. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 said to those leading and prominent Jews, maybe even some of those that others wished would get that wave of acknowledgement from, some who are important to the Jews among the time, he said to them in verse 8, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. To know God means more than to just to acknowledge him. But there has to be a desire within us to draw close to him, and we can only do that by his will, by his word. We've already seen that. We've already read that. And you wonder, what is it that keeps some from turning to him, especially when we consider all that is offered by God? Why do some refuse him? Because if we are not willing to do his will as he has said, if we are not willing to take on God's attributes, his purity and holiness, if we are not willing to do these things, then we are refusing him. And God is not going to force our obedience. He never has. But instead, He has blessed us with free will and the ability to decide for ourselves whether to serve Him or not. And it takes us back to that point in the idea of desire. We will have to choose, and we will have to, of our own will, desire to follow Him. There are so many things in this life for which we may have a longing or a desire. So many things that we may want to do. There are so many things that compete for our time. And even from childhood, most of us have raised our children in such a way to try to encourage them to have many interests, you know, to broaden their thinking and horizon. But have we emphasized the need of having an interest in God above all? Knowing God, truly knowing God in the sense of the texts that we have considered today. God wants us to choose Him. Always has. That's always been the will of God, that man would choose to take on His attributes, to truly be His children. And we put God sometimes in competition with our interests in life. And sometimes we struggle to decide what is more important when there shouldn't be a struggle at all. You know, we can so easily choose a job that takes us away from having ability to serve God well. And we need to think about it. We need to teach our children about trying to make some plans for life in such a way that there won't be issues of life that detract from knowing God in a serious way. Sometimes I've noticed this, and it's always concerned me. Christians go on vacation. You talk a little bit about them, what they did, and they had plans all the way through the time they were gone, Sunday notwithstanding. Never a mention about worshiping God. And sometimes people go on, but Christians go on vacation, and Sunday doesn't mean a thing in the world. It's just another day of vacation. We take a vacation from God? Really? I'm just wondering how God thinks about that. Or we choose to involve ourselves in interests of life and recreation that causes us to compromise our service to God. Not just worshiping on Sunday, though sometimes that becomes a real point of conflict, but in other ways too. We need to think about these things. What does it mean to know God? We said before, many people can say they know God, but when we read the text, we understand that knowing God is a relationship with Him. And if we want Him to know us, and I'm only thinking that's what we really want, or else I'm not sure why we'd be here right now, but that we want God to know us, then we will have to choose to know Him in every way that's used in the text. To know God is to seek Him with all of our heart and to put all things of this life far behind us. And that God is always priority one, that we always put God first in all things. Long ago, it was Moses who was writing to the children of Israel, and he was reminding them of the relationship with God. Chapter 4, verse 29, he said, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." And so when they crossed over the river into that promised land, God would be with them. He would not be far from them if they would seek Him with all of their heart. He would be their God and they would be their people. When David was nearing the end of his life, King David, it's interesting to me to read through 1 Chronicles and to see some of the instructions that he gave to Solomon, his son. I've read through that different times. And it's just interesting. We have a king who is transitioning to his son being a king. And I'm sure there had to be discussion about such matters of government that had to take place. But such is not really recorded for us in the text. But there's a lot of instruction that David gave to Solomon. It was all spiritual. I mean, the instruction was about the relationship with God that Solomon needed to have, as David had had. 1 Chronicles 29 or 28 and verse 9, David says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." There's some points there very familiar to Acts chapter 17 that we referenced a little while ago. If we seek God, if we grope for him, we will find him, because he's not far from each one of us. It's a serious matter for us to think and consider. Do we know God? I don't mean in that superficial way that many in the world may reference. "Yes, I know God. I know my Jesus," someone said not long ago. "I know my Jesus." It didn't take a very long discussion to know they had no idea what Jesus has ever said. They didn't know what Jesus said. "Oh, I know my Jesus." No, you don't. And we need to be careful that we don't think we have a relationship with God that we don't have. Because that relationship is not found on our terms. A relationship with God is for us to have, but it'll only be on His terms. Knowing God and being known by God is not so hard to understand. Jesus said in such a very simple way, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And if we make that our interest and our goal more than anything, truly, we can know God. And He can know us. And He can identify us as His children. Holy and pure. Have you become a child of God? Like those we read about in the New Testament, those who became baptized believers, faith in the Lord became so great, they said, "What should we do?" "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins." Have you done that? Have you become a child of God? Or are you a child of God that has fallen back in sin? The blood of Jesus is waiting there to cleanse us. As we repent of our sins and confess them, pray forgiveness. Can we help you somehow? Would you respond as we stand and sing?